So come on up if you're a young person. And if you're young at heart, Val, you can come up and sit down if you don't want to sit on the pew. You're welcome.
So I brought a bar of soap with me today. Yeah, you might be thinking, what does soap have to do with the theme of peace for this week? I can see you're not believing the connection. Well, we use soap to wash off our everyday messes. And if I've had a really rough day, nothing makes me feel as good as a warm, soapy bath. If I'm upset, my mom taught me to take a warm washcloth and rub it behind my ears. It makes me feel peaceful inside. If we want to really know peace, we have to wash off the stuff that's holding us back. Our anger, our judgment and resentment, we have to wash it away. The soap I brought today is kind of cool because it's made with olive oil. There are lots of olive trees that grow in the place where Jesus lived and grew up. In fact, the story that you read for us this morning from Isaiah, when it talked about the shoot growing from the stump of Jesse's tree, probably they were talking about an olive tree. And the olive tree is a symbol of peace. We have kind of a funny saying that we use. Has anyone ever heard of extending an olive branch? No. Some yeses, some noes. Well, the idea of that one is that if you've been fighting with someone and you want to make up, you want to make peace, you offer them an olive branch. Not literally. You don't have to go searching for an olive tree and chop off a branch and say, here's some olives, I'm sorry. But we can use our words to offer an olive branch to try and make peace with someone if we've been fighting. Farming olives has been happening for thousands of years. And it started in a place called Syria. You have heard of Syria? Okay. Syria has been in the news a lot lately, so you might have heard that name before. Anyone know where in the world we would find Syria? It is. It neighbors the country of Turkey. So Syria is in the Middle East. It's the western part of Asia, but it's along the Mediterranean Sea. So it's close to Europe and it's close to Africa too. Abdel Fattah Sabouni lives in Alberta now, but he grew up in Syria. He lived in the city called Aleppo. And his last name, Sabouni, means the soap maker. Abdel Fattah came from a family of soap makers. His father was a soap maker. He learned how to make soap from Abdel Fattah's grandfather, who learned how to make soap from Abdel Fattah's great-grandfather, who started a factory in Aleppo where they made soap. And Abdel Fattah knew that when he grew up, he was going to be a soap maker. When he was about 10 years old, anybody close to 10? Ah, well, that's pretty close. Have you decided your career already?
No.
No? How about you? Have you decided? Very cool. Well, by the time Abdel Fattah was 10, he knew that he wanted to be a soap maker, just like his family. And so he started going to the factory, not every day, but sometimes he would go in and visit so that he could learn more about how soap was made and about the history of his family's company. And he would walk through the streets of Aleppo. It was a big, beautiful, busy city. More than 2 million people lived in Aleppo. And it had been around for a very, very, very long time. There's a long history in Syria. And so when he walked, he might look up at the hill. There was a citadel there. It was built during the medieval ages, a palace with big fortifications on top of the hill. It had been around for a very long time. Or he might walk past the mosque. It was called the Great Umayyad Mosque, and it was built in the year 700. Beautiful tile mosaics all over it. He walked through places like that on his way to his dad's factory. And by the time he was 14, any 14-year-olds? Close. He began his official training. He started working in the soap factory. And he was so proud of the job his family was doing. His father took a lot of pride in telling him, the recipe that we use for this soap is 3,000 years old. No chemicals, no additives. They had been making soap the same way in Aleppo for 3,000 years. And there were all kinds of legends about Aleppo soap. Supposedly, Queen Cleopatra of Egypt loved Aleppo soap and used it every day. And the kings and queens in France learned about it, and they liked it so much, they had the French soap makers try and copy the secret recipe. And because it's made with olive oil, it's really nice for your skin. It helps it to feel very moist. Well, Abdel Fattah worked in the factory from the time he was 14 until he was 24. And by the time he was 24, he was so good at making soap, and he knew so much about his family's business that his father said, "You're ready. From now on, you are in charge of the company." They made 5,000 kilograms of soap every day. And their soap was so popular, they shipped it to places like Iraq, France, South Korea, and Japan. Abdel Fattah got married, and he and his wife had 3 children. And Abdel Fattah really, really hoped that one day his children would learn the secret recipe for making their family soap. But do you remember why you've heard about Syria? There's a war going on in Syria. It's a civil war, and that means that the war is inside the country. They're not fighting with a different country. It's groups inside the country who are fighting. And it's really complicated. And I am not an expert, but I'm going to try and give you kind of the simple version. In the year 2011, a lot of the people in Syria started to be concerned that their government was doing bad things, that the government was corrupt. And so they started protesting. They were very peaceful. They didn't fight, but they let the government know they weren't happy with what was going on. And the government shot some of the people who were protesting. And the people decided that they couldn't keep this government anymore. They needed to get rid of it. And so some of the people started fighting against the government. But the government didn't give up. They fought against the people. And that fighting spread all throughout the country. And then while the rebels were fighting the government and the government was fighting the rebels, another group, the so-called Islamic State, said, maybe while everybody is distracted by fighting, we could take over the country. And so they started fighting the rebels and the government. And the fighting still hasn't ended, not since 2012. And Abdel Fattah got pretty worried. He worried that his factory might get hit by a bomb. But even more so, he worried that his family might not be safe. And so he started talking to some of his relatives. He started talking to his friends, saying, I've been thinking maybe we need to leave the country. And a lot of them said, oh, don't worry. The fighting will be over soon. It'll be fine. But he wasn't so sure the fighting was going to be over soon. And then one day, a bomb hit his friend's apartment building. And it knocked the outside wall right off the whole building. If you were standing inside your apartment, you could see outside, not like a window, but because there was no outside wall. And he said, no, I can't stay here any longer. I have to get my family to safety. And his friend said, but you're abandoning your factory. You're abandoning your work and your business. And he said, it doesn't matter. My family is more important than my work. So they packed up everything they could carry, and they went to a nearby country called Jordan. They became refugees. And a refugee is basically someone who has to run away from their country because there's no peace there. Yeah. That's pretty cool. We've welcomed a lot of refugees in Canada. Oh, I haven't read that one. That sounds good. You'll have to tell me about that one afterwards so I can add it to my list. No spoilers, right? But yes, I would love to read more about it. Abdel Fattah and his family went to Jordan. And because they were refugees, they asked the United Nations, can you help us to find a country where it will be safe to live? 6 million people have left Syria as refugees because it wasn't safe for them to stay there. Another 5 million have had to leave their homes because they're either destroyed by bombs or not safe to live in. That's more than half of the population of Syria before the war, needing to find new homes. They stayed in Jordan for a long time, but finally, they got news from the United Nations. Canada has given you an invitation to come as a refugee and live there, and the Canadian government will help you to get started. Do you know how much English Abdel Fattah spoke? Absolutely none. But he thought, wonderful. I'm so happy to take my family to this new country. They came in January of 2016. Now, in Aleppo in January, a cold day might be plus 10. They don't get snow. Can you imagine what a shock it would be to land in Calgary in January? But they were so excited to be here. And Abdel Fattah immediately signed up for English classes. He took English lessons for a year. And he didn't really think he would continue his business of soap making, but sometimes he'd make a batch of soap in the kitchen just to remind his family of home. And then one day a friend of his said, there's a festival. Maybe you could bring some soap and sell it. And Abdel Fattah liked the idea of earning some money so that he didn't need to depend on the government. And so he set up a soap making station in his garage, and he brought the soap to the festival, and in 2 hours, every single bar was sold. And he started to think, maybe I could be a soap maker in Canada. He had met another refugee from Syria in his English classes, and together with a Syrian Canadian who had been here for about 20 years, they went into business. They opened a factory in Calgary, and then they opened a store, and then they opened another store. And on November 30th, they opened a store at the West Edmonton Mall. They call it Aleppo Savon. Mr. Sabuni, the soap maker, really, really wanted to be very Canadian, so he picked Savon because it's French for soap. He thought that would make it even more Canadian. So I'm going to pass that around if you want to. It doesn't have a very strong smell because it's made mostly with olive oil, but that's the traditional recipe that they used to make. You can see there's a little green spot on it. It starts off as a green bar of soap, and then it has to age for 5 or 6 months, and as it ages, it turns kind of a browny yellow. Now, Mr. Sabuni has been learning a lot of things about Canada. He has learned English, and he has learned a teeny tiny bit of French, and he has also learned that Canadians like colorful things and things with different smells. And so he took the traditional recipe for soap, and he started some new kinds. So this yellow one here smells like lemons. Sure. And this pink one smells like lavender. And the green one, sure, come grab it. It smells like roses. You don't want to smell like a rose? He even learned that Canadians like something called bath bombs, so he started making bath bombs too. Abdel Fattah and his wife had a fourth child here in Canada, and their oldest son, who is named Abdel Qadir, now works in the soap store on the weekends. And maybe one day he will become a soap maker, just like his last name says. We heard in the gospel reading today about John the Baptist, and he called on people to repent. He baptized people, and in some ways, baptism is like washing yourself clean. We have to wash away bad things like anger or resentment or shame. We repent from hurtful things that we have done and good things that we have not remembered to do. and we wash ourselves clean, and we know peace, and we are ready to follow Jesus. I kind of like the idea of washing with a healing soap made of olive oil, the peace symbol. May you find your peace in God this Advent season.
Thank you for that, Renee. Kids, you can go back to your spots, wherever they are. And yeah, I think it's a really important message that we have in our gospel today. John the Baptist has always been a figure that kind of bewildered me. I never quite got how he connected to anything. And Jesus has really, really high praise for John the Baptist. He said, of all the prophets, he's the greatest. And what was his message that he went around preaching? Repent and be baptized. Why? Because you need to get ready. His message was prepare the way, get ready. And it's sort of like repentance is really, you know, I've used this image before, like I'm going this direction. And I realize, hey, this direction is exactly the wrong direction. I need to go that way. It's like turning around. And the connection here that we have to Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, is that we can't know true peace until we turn around and we stop and we say, hey, I've got it all wrong. That the deepest part of peace is not simply rearranging what it is that we're doing around us, but it's a change in our hearts. And you can't really know true peace until the heart is changed. And we can try to rearrange everything around us, but what we end up doing is just creating new structures and new ways that we can be mean to each other. And there has to be that change of repentance. So thank you very much for that reminder. Please stand with me and let's affirm our faith together in the words of the rule of God's rule of grace. We believe in God, creator of all things, ruler of all that is, and all that is to come. God is transforming the world into the place of God's justice and mercy. We follow Jesus, who taught and healed, who died and rose, revealing God's abundant grace. He sent disciples out into the world to heal, to proclaim the good news of your grace, and to participate in the reign of God in all that we do. He reigns in love over all creation and holds all accountable to their faithfulness to God's rule of grace. We rely on the unfailing grace of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the community of the church as the body of Christ, the unity of all believers, the power of forgiveness, the reality of resurrection, and the alluring blessing of eternal life. Therefore, we devote ourselves to lives of daily prayer, study, and reflection, following Jesus as our master, for the sake of the transformation of the world by the grace of God. Amen.